I do want to start off by thanking you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning here on American Urban Radio Networks.
Well, thank you for having me.
So I understand the Kellogg Foundation is launching a new product, or project, I'm sorry. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, it's a truth, racial healing, and transformation enterprise. The closest thing to it would be a truth and reconciliation initiative, which many other countries have undertaken. But we call it truth, racial healing, and transformation because racism, or the belief in a hierarchy of human value, is really part of the DNA of this country. So we don't think reconciliation is quite the right term, so we use transformation.
So what's the mission of this new project?
Well, like any truth effort, it's an attempt to undo or uproot the false mythology, the ideology that there is a hierarchy of human value. It's an attempt to get us to face the absurdity of that belief, what it has done to America, what it has the potential to do to America as we go forward, and to get us to agree to transform our systems and our attitudes and our beliefs and our policies to promote equality and equity and fairness in this country.
And how can you explain to our listeners why it was so important to create an initiative like this?
You know, we did a poll. We analyzed recent polls. We are no longer in denial in this country about the centrality of racism. Most of America understands that we have work to do in this area. And the Kellogg Foundation has been funding and leading investments helping communities to come to grips and overcome racism for decades. And so we really felt now was an unprecedented moment in our nation's history and that we had a unique capacity to bring together a diverse coalition from all sectors in this country to design a unique strategy for America and to begin to implement it.
And so to the best of your ability, which way could you break this down for our listeners so that we can better understand and then realize that it's important for us as well?
Well, you know, we live in a segregated country, so overcoming our biases about the other person, if you will, that's different, requires interaction with others. And so we will be having healing opportunities or healing circles, private opportunities for truth-telling and narrative changing, if you will, telling stories to get to overcome prejudices and biases. But there will also be public fact-finding hearings looking at the unique negative effects of racism in the criminal justice system, in the education system, even in the workplace, in terms also dealing with segregation. So there'll be private experiences so that communities can come together across regions and within regions. And there will be public fact-finding hearings that are so typical of the truth and reconciliation efforts that happen all over the world. And that will lead to specific strategies for policy changes and for practice changes within our different systems. An illustration might be the fact that a disproportionate number of children are in the child welfare system. Why does that happen? Why do so many more children of color end up in child welfare? Well, that's a legacy. That's part of the legacy of racism in this country, and we want to figure out how to reverse that, how to change that. The same is true for the criminal justice system. So to bring people together to find solutions, but solutions that are grounded in an understanding of the role that bias and racism has played, as well as structural racism, in getting us to this point today.
Now, do you think now is the time in our society to tackle issues like this? Do you think that society is ready for this?
Well, the polling data reflects that, and people can visit our website at wkkf.org, where we have a report where we analyzed the polls, and the general attitudes in the country are hungry for something like this. That would be the indication. But it's also now because most of the children born in America today are children of color. And most of them are facing the barriers of low-income or impoverished families. And so if we don't do it now, when? I mean, this country has got to create a more equitable and even opportunity dynamic for our children, all of our children.
And you mentioned now, again, you mentioned that there's a growing number of children born that are of color. And so now is the time. What do you hope that this will set up for them? Do you hope that this will help ease the racial healing for the folks for the kids that are born of color?
Well, we absolutely hope that they will grow up in a world that, first of all, acknowledges them, acknowledges the contributions, the resilience, the valid input of their communities, both historically and in a contemporary sense, that they'll grow up and they'll go to schools that are not as segregated as they are today, that they will have access to early childhood education supports that are necessary, which many do not now, that our country will recognize what children deserve and be willing to invest in providing the resources and the opportunities. But most importantly, they'll go into classrooms where the teachers in their training will have come to grips with their own biases, and the schools will be structured in a way to prevent a classroom teacher's unconscious biases from serving as a barrier to effective treatment of the students. When you look at suspension rates today, even preschool suspension rates, you have a disproportionate number of children, particularly boys of color, being suspended, right? We would suggest that there are certain trainings and skills that those educators need to be able to better manage those classrooms and manage those students that are different from their own background. And we think that through the racial healing work and through this transformation effort, our children, all children, will go into classrooms that will be better equipped to embrace them in a positive way. So that's one very specific outcome for the children.
So now that our listeners hear that you guys are out and you're starting this new initiative, what message do you hope they walk away with?
We hope they walk away with a sense that, yes, we are not in denial. Yes, we are going to deal with the persistent legacy of this country in terms of its belief in a hierarchy of human value, that finally, we hope the listeners will exhale and want to be a part of an effort that finally comes to grips with the truth from a healing perspective with the intention of transforming so that our democratic ideals can truly be realized.
Excellent. Can you give us a website? Is there a website that we can go to? I think you mentioned it before, but just for safety, is there a website that we can go to get more information about the initiative?
Certainly. It's the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF, as in foundation.org. And we like to call it an enterprise because we know that it's a long-term effort. We aren't going to erase 4 centuries of belief in a hierarchy of human value in a brief initiative. It is a long-term, multi-year initiative, and we are actively engaging partners from every sector. We have over 70 partner organizations engaged now, and we want to see that number grow.
Excellent. I think that's everything for me. Is there anything that I left out you wanted to add?
No, your questions were excellent. I just hope my answers were clear enough. And
yeah, they were. The more you talked, the more I understood, so I really appreciate that.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure, and we'd be happy to keep you updated as our work progresses.